Nice to have you listening to At Issue this afternoon as we continue on the program with our candidate forums for the primary recall state Senate candidates. I'm Ben Marins, by the way, and this hour we'll talk to Kristen Dexter, former state representative in the 68th Assembly District and Democratic challenger for the state Senate in the 23rd District. After the half-hour news break, we'll talk to the protest candidate or fake Democrat, depending on your point of view, James Engel. You can join in throughout the hour at 800-486-8655 as we discuss why recall, why Kristen Dexter, why James Engel, and the other issues tied into all this race that's on your mind. You can email us, too, talk@WPR.org. Facebook is At Issue with Ben Marins. And Kristen Dexter, welcome to At Issue. Thanks for joining me.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
Appreciate you making the time. So you ran and won a seat in the Assembly in 2008. You lost re-election in 2010, so why do you want to go back into the fray?
Well, it's not something I expected to be happening so quickly. After the loss in 2010, as you know, the Republicans drew a new district map or a new state map with new districts, and I was drawn out of the opportunity to challenge Terry Moulton. And then, you know, as things transpired over the next few months, the recall elections were ordered to go forward under those old district boundaries, which I live in. So that was something that started to gel. I started to talk about it with my family in about January. And by the end of January, when I saw that the 9,000 or 900 people in this district who had circulated petitions collected 21,000 signatures, I thought, well, the voters are dead serious about a redo. And that's when people started asking me, or they had been asking me, If this happens, would you consider being a candidate? And by the time they collected those signatures, I thought, sure, I will. I will definitely do this again. And so that's kind of how it came to be. I think the fundamental issue that the governor promised to address and Terry Moulton promised to address back in 2010 has still not been addressed. And that also prompted me to want to get back in it. And that is the fact that people are still demanding an economy that's more equal and one that works better for more people, including women and children and, you know, seniors and small and large businesses and the environment. And despite the big promises that were made during the 2010 campaign, this fundamental issue has not been addressed. In fact, I would say it's been a pretty dismal failure in Wisconsin.
I want to talk to you for a minute about the concept of recall and the idea that you've been a public official, albeit in the Assembly with a two-year term. It's a little different. But if Terry Moulton said, I hope to do these things in office, and midway through trying to get the job done is taken out, how's the public better served than if someone gets a full term, whether it's Terry Moulton or down the road Kristen Dexter, to try to get all the work done in what sometimes can be a slow process, which is government?
You're right. It can be a slow process and things don't happen overnight. But again, I think the people, the voters, were the ones who said, we have in the Constitution this opportunity for a redo and we're going to take advantage of it. And they did it. And they did it with integrity, I might add. This whole process was done very well, very carefully. You know, everything from the gathering of signatures to the certification of signatures. And, you know, the voters drove this. And so I think by allowing them to speak, whether it's 2 years that someone's been in office or 1 year, you know, it was their decision and it was their activism and their work that made this happen. So I think they deserve that opportunity to go forward with it.
And if you won this election and decide to run again, because obviously in this election, if you win, ultimately there won't be time to recall you before the term is up. The idea that you could be midway through your term and the voters spoke to get you in, as they did in this case, Terry Moulton. So this new set of voters says, no, we don't like what was done there. It seems that there's a sort of a ping pong ball political effect here. Are the voters who've signed these petitions short-sighted in terms of what they're doing?
Oh, I don't think they're short-sighted at all. I think they know that there's been an imbalance. They know that they voted for, or they may have voted for this governor and this legislature based upon what they were talking about during the campaign. But, you know, a lot of the people who signed the recall signature or the recall petitions said to the circulators, we may have voted for this, we may have voted for these people, but we certainly didn't expect them to do this. And I don't think it's short-sighted at all. I think they really feel like they had the rug pulled out from under them in many cases, and that what has come about was not what was promised to them during the election, and that they've been blindsided by a lot of this legislation and the speed at which it's happened, the secrecy under which it's happened, the lack of accountability that's surrounded it, and they are standing up and saying, absolutely no more of this.
In the state, there's a strong anti-Walker sentiment amongst Democrats, which obviously fuels a recall. In your district, is that sentiment the same, do you think, for Senator Moulton, or do you think this is just riding the wave of the anti-Walker sentiment?
Well, I think it's a little bit of both, but I do hear from people who say, you know, I'm going to vote for Scott Walker, but I'm not going to vote for Terry Moulton again. I think one thing I've been hearing about Terry is that he is not showing up and that he is sort of has gone into, I don't know, hiding, or has kind of taken himself out of public service and the public eye for a while. I have heard people being very frustrated during his time and during the session that they were not able to get a hold of him, that he shut them out of his office, that he would make appointments and then not show up or not be there or send a staffer. So, I don't know. These are anecdotes that have been related to me.
We hear these anecdotes. John Lehman talked about them yesterday as well, and for the 21st Senate district race with Van Wongard. It seems that the supporters are able to get to, and the ones who like the candidacy, I was able to get to him or her. They were accessible to me. They're doing a good job. The people who don't like them say they're not accessible. They've been hiding out. They deserve to be recalled. So it seems to begin that's the political banter of the day. But in terms of truly assessing the job that Senator Moulton has done, is there something you're looking at? They're saying this is really wrong. Other than following Governor Walker, has Terry Moulton made a speech or taken a position or taken a vote that you look at and say this is so wrong that he actually deserves to lose the position midterm?
Well, I can point to something recent. He was one of the lead sponsors on the bill that made it harder for women to go to court and collect punitive damages on a wage discrimination case. And that has really made people mad. And that's on top of the other GOP legislation that has sort of said to women, you know, you don't get to make up your own mind about things. We'll make up your mind for you. And wherever I go in the district in the last few weeks, wherever I go, this is brought up to me, this sort of war. You can call it what you want, but the current terminology, the current phrase is war on women. And no matter where I go, without exception, women bring this up to me. And he, being one of the lead sponsors on that legislation, I think has really, you know, peeved off a lot of women in this district. The fact that he, along with the other legislators, voted to funnel more of our tax dollars to private, unaccountable voucher schools in the Milwaukee area at the expense of schools in his backyard has also been, I think, a bad vote that deserves to be, you know, he deserves to be accountable for. So those are a couple of examples, one more recent and one a little longer ago.
And my audience appreciate the specifics to that answer. Kristen, how are you running the campaign? How does one run a recall campaign?
Well, one runs a recall campaign with just a couple of months, kind of similar to what I've heard other people call, it's kind of like speed dating. You meet a lot of people really fast, and you're doing it. You're on the go all the time. But you know what? It energizes me. My favorite part of campaigning by far is knocking on doors and getting to meet with people in their communities. And I have had the most amazing high quality conversations in this campaign than I've ever had before. And I think people have really come alive, become aware. I'm meeting people all the time who say, I have never been involved in politics before. I have never paid attention, but I can tell you I am now because I understand the consequences of being inactive. And so, I'm campaigning by going to as many of the small towns as I'm able to. I'm also, of course, focusing on the part of Eau Claire that is in the 23rd Senate District, as well as the city of Chippewa Falls. I am visiting as many schools as possible because I want to hear from them about how the tools really are not working. And, you know, that is verified that this first year, possibly they did have some savings, and not possibly, many did have savings, but that those savings have now been accounted for, and there will be no future savings. And in fact, there will be some really dreadful budgets coming up. So that's a little bit of what I'm doing, visiting as many places as I can, as quickly as I can, in this very short amount of time.
What are you saying to the people you meet who say, I'm Republican, I'm going to vote for Terry Moulton again, and if you win, I'm curious how I can feel that you're going to represent me?
Well, the same way I represented them, you know, the first time. I had this conversation on the phone the other night. I was making fundraising phone calls, and I reached out to somebody who has been, who is a Republican but has supported me in the past because of a friendship. And this time, this person said to me, you know, I just can't donate because I don't believe in the recall. And we had a very respectful conversation. We left that conversation still friends, still respecting one another. And I think that that's how I represent people, by listening to them, by respecting their opinion, by taking into consideration their feelings and their ideas, because as we often say in politics, good ideas don't come from just one side or the other. They come from everywhere. And, you know, I had a really good model to follow. I was on the Altoona School Board for 6 years, and we had a really great working relationship. We had a fantastic president who was able to keep everything, you know, running on time and didn't let us stray during our meetings. We all did our homework. We all came to meetings prepared. I don't know how these people vote in, you know, presidential elections or state elections. But it did not matter to me when we were on this, you know, when we were working together on the board together, because we always had our focus on the job at hand, and we worked together well. And despite differences, and we did have differences, we had many debates, but we always were respectful, and we worked hard. We worked together. We found common ground whenever we could, and that's all I can say to the Republicans who I hope to be able to represent.
Quick break. Okay, quick break, and then we'll talk a little bit about James Engel and his role in this race in the primary, and we'll take calls, too. Kristen Dexter, our guest this segment of At Issue, a former state representative and now state Senate challenger in the 23rd District in the recall process. She has a recall primary opponent in James Engel, the protester, fake Democrat. We'll talk to him after the 3:30 news. You can join the conversation, ask questions, or make comments to Kristen Dexter at 800-486-8655. The program is At Issue. Glad to have you listening to At Issue. By the way, our Senate candidate series concludes tomorrow. And our 3 o'clock segment, Lori Compass joins us, the Democratic candidate in the 13th Senate District. And then we'll talk about the recall process in general with Wisconsin Eye producer Steve Walters at 3:30. 800-486-8655. Lines open in time for you to be heard talking to Kristen Dexter. Kristen, let's take Joanne, who's waiting to talk to you from Eau Claire. Hi, Joanne.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Kristen, thank you for running. My comment is that in last weekend's Leader Telegram, that's our local Eau Claire paper, I was very disappointed in Terry Moulton's response to a voice of the people regarding Terry's voting for the repeal of the equal pay for equal work for women in the state. Terry did not acknowledge the fact that he, Moulton, did vote for this anti-women legislation. And further, he blamed Democrats and indicated that the Democrats were simply causing fear among the voters. And that's my comment. Thank you so much.
Sean, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Well, we sort of covered that issue already. Do you have a further statement you want to make before we move on, Kristen?
I don't think that when half of the population has been disenfranchised by a bill, that's fear. That's fact. Women are half the voters in the state, where half of the workforce, in many cases, were the main breadwinners in families, and the bill disenfranchised fully half of the population. That whole atmosphere surrounding the passage of that bill and the whole spirit of the bill is bad for women and bad for families and bad for our economy. When women are not paid as much as men, it's bad for the economy. And that bill was a deterrent to treating women differently in the workforce. And that's not fear, that's fact.
Thanks again, Joanne. Appreciate the call. Let's talk about James Engel for a minute. He will tell you he doesn't like the term fake candidate, protest candidate, the term that the supporters are using. What's your thought about the fact you're in a primary and with a candidate who you wouldn't look at and say he's a mainstream Democrat running against me?
Well, I think that having all kinds of people running is healthy in this, you know, in democracy, whether they're mainstream or not. I don't hold any personal grudge against this gentleman for wanting to be a part of electoral politics. I think it's a really great thing. I really enjoy, you know, I enjoy being an elected official. I enjoy, you know, public service in that way. But this is, okay, I'm not going to call him a fake Democrat. I will call him possibly a cloaked Democrat or a shady. I don't know. The whole thing is a little bit shady because, you know, as I said in that article that's been alluded to on Sunday, there was a letter. I got, someone handed me a letter that's addressed to Dear Fellow Conservative, and it's in James Engel's words, and it's signed James Engel Fall Creek, and yet it's paid for by the Republican Party of Wisconsin, Bob, I don't know, Giesen, treasurer. And so, you know, you can call it legitimate, but that whole little story that I just told you, to me, is not very legitimate. Somebody's lying.
The communications director for the Republican Party, Ben Sparks, was on the program yesterday. He denied that the Republican Party has anything to do with that letter. And that he says, I can't control what people put out there, but the Republican Party did not do that. So
I would like to make a copy of this and send it to Ben Sparks and see what he has to say about that.
At the same time, Ben Sparks made the point that the reason these candidates are in place is not to be dirty or underhanded or unethical, but that it's to put ethics in the system so a primary takes place on a primary day and a general election on a general election day, as opposed to having a general election on a day when there's majority primary Democrats coming out for a primary in the gubernatorial election. He says that's what's not ethical here, and that voters are ill-served unless you have a set primary day and a set general election day, and by putting the primary in play, they guaranteed that the voters would get that. What do you think about that?
Well, I guess I wonder then why, when the governor and the GOP-controlled legislature came into power in 2011, January of 2011, one of the first things they did was change the election date for local elections to April 3rd, which was the same day as the GOP primary for president. And so it seemed to me that they were kind of stacking the deck in their favor there, yet they don't want the Democratic general election for the Senate to take place on the same day as the Democratic primary, which would stack the deck in the Democrats' favor. So I don't know. It seems a little bit disingenuous that they want it there, you know, that they want it that way. But they had the power. They were in control. They could do whatever they wanted to. So, you know, frankly, I haven't spent a lot of time thinking about this. We knew we were going to have the fake candidates running against us. We've been preparing for it. We are ready for it. It's another roadblock we have to step over, but, you know, we've been planning for it.
Are you running a primary campaign, per se, or are you essentially running a general campaign through the primary season?
A little bit of both. I mean, we will be turning out our voters for the primary. There's no doubt about that. We're not going to take it. We're not going to turn our backs on the fact that there is an election, for sure. But I am running a campaign against Terry Moulton, and I'm running fast, I'm running strong, and I'm running right through the primary, of course, having to make adjustments for it. We will activate our voters. We have volunteers out on the streets. We have people making phone calls, and they'll just continue doing that right through the general.
Kristen Dexter, our guest this segment of At Issue, William in Eau Claire. We'll get to your call. Hi, William.
Hi, Ben. Thanks for taking my call.
Go right ahead.
I just was wondering how the candidate's going to remain independent if she does get elected. I think that independence is more what people are concerned about than anything else, because candidates on both sides, once they get into office, are mostly just beholden to what the party establishment, Republican or Democrat, says and what the special interest groups that their party favors want. So I'm wondering, how, if the candidate does get elected, is she going to just be another politician that votes along party lines and supports the same old special interest groups?
William, I'll stop you there because I've got about a minute, so I want to get an answer for you. It's a good question. I appreciate the call. Kristen?
Yeah, the number one thing I did do and will do again is staying in touch with the people in the district, because that's where your you know, so-called marching orders should come from. And, you know, I am a Democrat. I'm going to be voting for Democratic bills, just as Terry Moulton is a Republican and votes for Republican bills. I do not hold that against him, and nobody should hold the fact that I'm a Democrat against me. But staying in touch with the people in your district is the way to ensure that what you're voting for reflects the district and does not reflect the party. You vote for your district before your party. That's one thing. You know, that's something I believe very, very strongly. You vote for your district before your party.
William, I appreciate the call and the question. And Kristen Dexter, thanks for making time to come on the air with me.
Anytime.
Kristen Dexter is a former state representative from the 68th Assembly District, a state Senate challenger in the 23rd District. The primary day, May 8th, the general election, June 5th. We come back after the news and talk to James Engel, the protester fake candidate in this 23rd Senate District Democratic primary. And we'll take your calls about his candidacy and the role of these candidates. We have spent this week talking with Senate District primary candidates, Democrats, Donna Seidel, John Lehman, and now Kristen Dexter tomorrow, Lori Compass, and also Jim Buckley on Monday. He's one of the protest candidates. If you didn't hear these interviews but like to, they're at WPR.org. And Joy Cardine in the morning has been talking to gubernatorial candidates. She does that again tomorrow, and also talking to lieutenant gubernatorial candidates. So if you want to be involved and hear what these people have to say, we're trying to make it possible for you. You have to do some work. You have to listen or go online to WPR.org to the archives. We're going to bring you some news. And then James Engel. I'm Ben Marins. This is At Issue.